All right, thank you, Lead Team. As we move into today's message, before we do, what we've been doing each Sunday as we've been choosing another gospel preaching church in Lancaster County to be able to pray for them. Today we're going to be praying for Encounter Church in Quarryville. Dr. John Hoover's son-in-law is one of the pastors there. And so we'll be praying for them as we move into our message. Dear Heavenly Father, we do want to thank you for the opportunity that we had to sing and to praise you through music. And we are just grateful that we can gather in your name. We do know, Lord, that there are people throughout the world that would be overjoyed to be able to gather with other believers, to be able to have that common fellowship and enjoy the common bond in Christ together. And yet, for one reason or another, they are unable. So we do not want to take for granted the opportunities that we can gather together. We do want to pray for another church in our area, Encounter Church in Quarryville, and for Pastor Stu and Pastor Jake. And we just pray for their ministry as they minister to the people in that area of the county. I just pray that they would have a fruitful ministry, that you grant them wisdom in these difficult times as well, to know how to best move forward, how to best minister to their people. And as we move into our message today, Lord, may our hearts be knit together with yours, that you might be exalted. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, the first thing that everybody need to do is you need to look down at your shoes, and you need to make sure that they match. Okay, this is going to be important for later, but so hopefully everyone here, you have some matching shoes. So I did notice that I could use a little buff on mine. But as we, last week, we were covering pretty much the first five verses of Ephesians 2. And I'm going to even back up just to verse 4 so we can catch something from verse 4 all the way to verse 10. So there are certain things that we talked quite a bit about last week regarding grace and mercy and defining of those things and how they fit in. So we're not going to talk about as much of those two words as much this week. But if you missed last week's message, you're certainly going to want to try to get that information because it all builds together. But there's an important thing that happens here. Maybe you've heard of somebody that they were able to coin a phrase and it ends up in the dictionary. Well, obviously, it happens quite often because the dictionary keeps expanding. Well, what Paul did back in his day, and it appears in this passage, that he ended up having to coin he made up three words that didn't previously exist. And so they are very important. What he did is he took the Greek prefix, syn, S-Y-N, and he added it to something else. That prefix means together with. And so they just didn't have that, so he had to make these words up so that they would say together with. So what we have here is in verse 5, it says that after we were found out that we were dead in our transgressions and sin, and it was by grace and for his great love for us, we found out, but God, his intervention. And then it says here in verse 5, he made us alive with Christ. That made us alive was all one word in the Greek. So made us alive, the next one in verse 6, raised us up with Christ and seated us with him. So all of those terms were things that Paul had to coin because they didn't exist. So with him, that was such an important phraseology because just think about the excitement that each of us could have as a believer. We are made alive with Christ, we are raised up with Christ, and he seated us with him. Now, there's one other interesting thing is that all of these things are aorist tense, past tense. So these are things that he has already done for us. He has already, maybe you think, okay, he made us alive with Christ and he raised us up spiritually speaking, but he's already seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. So in this sense, we have already joined together. We are already part of this family. We are already seated with Christ, people that were dead in transgressions and sins, people that God had no need of, and yet he chose to demonstrate his power and his love by making us alive, raising us up with Christ, and seating us with him in the heavenly realms. So last week, we talked about the earlier verses in Ephesians. Now I just want to read a little bit from 2, 8 through 10. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So if we're going to understand this, we've got this new term. We've got this term now that's faith. How does faith fit into this whole picture of what we're going to be talking about? Well, first of all, we've got to determine what faith is, what faith is not, and what it is. And so we're going to start with what faith is not. Number one, it's not subjective feelings. So some people have this gut feeling that they've just got a relationship with God. Or how many times have you heard somebody say, and I've heard it often, they say one of two things. They say, I'm a spiritual person. Or they say that I have faith. And it's very subjective. So the question is, what do you have faith in? What is your faith about? Explain this to me, because it could be that this person, I just feel that I have a relationship with God. Well, do you believe that Jesus was resurrected from the dead? Well, no. We could go through all the, a number of key doctrines in Scripture, and no, they don't necessarily believe that. But I just have this feeling. I just have a feeling that I'm okay with God. But that's not what the faith is that Scripture is talking about. The second one is intellectual assent. That means, I understand that God exists. I even believe that Jesus lived and that he died. But that's as far as it goes. I like studying the Bible. I like finding out information about these things. There's a lot of neat things in the Bible. And, there's a lot of people throughout history. The Bible is the bestseller, the best-selling book of all time. So there's been a lot of people that have read the Bible in which it's only been an intellectual pursuit. The sad part is the Scripture tells us, even the demons believe and they shudder. They believe in an intellectual sense. They know that Jesus was resurrected from the dead. They know he created the universe. But they have no relationship. They don't have any faith in Christ. The third one is naivete. So you've probably heard people say, that's just kind of naive, or that's kind of, you're kind of gullible. Well, this is where people just, anything that they hear about God, they'll believe. Or anything that they want to hear about God. Well, I can't believe that God would do that because he's a God of love. So God wouldn't do this. He wouldn't allow this to happen to me because he loves me. These are the things I've heard about God. So I can't mention like what we mentioned last week, that God is wrathful against sin. Well, we just can't talk about that. That's not the God that I like. Or people could just say, God told me such and such. Or I've just got this feeling. Well, you better make sure that all of those things match up with what God's word says. Otherwise, it's just that. You're just pretending. You're becoming your own God. You're creating a God that you would like, not the real God. And then our last one is faith is not optimism. Years ago, Norman Vincent Peale wrote a book, The Power of Positive Thinking. And in that book, really, he misses the whole point, in a sense, of the gospel, is that it misses of what true faith is that whole book and then that whole mindset, which really took over corporate America, takes over sports teams, is just that it's really about faith in myself. If you've got enough gumption, you can pull yourself up by your bootstraps, you can do all that you need to do in order to be successful. Now, there's nothing inherently wrong with the power of positive thinking in an earthly sense. If you have faith in you have a team, and you have faith in your team, you know, we can do this. We're gonna get together. I mean, you don't want teams that get together and they're ready to go out for a championship game and just say, doesn't look good. I'd say we've got about 20-80. And you don't want to be in that sense. You've got to, in a sense, build yourself up. Yeah, we're going to give everything we got. You want to have the idea that you can win. It's hard to win unless you have the feeling that you can win. But that, again, is a different type of faith. That's the faith, in a sense, that mankind has, or I can have in an ability or in a group of people. We're trying to accomplish something. But that's not the same thing as faith in God or faith in Christ. Because in this sense, we cannot do anything. We can't have faith in ourselves that's going to in any way give us a right relationship with God. So what is faith? Number one, it's knowledge. It's impossible to believe in a thing unless we know what it is we're believing in. So knowledge is very important. Knowing the Word of God, what it teaches, is very important. Well, what do we need knowledge of? Well, we need to know some knowledge from last week that we were dead in our transgressions and sin. That we had no hope apart from Christ of having right relationship. And we need to know that what that phrase was, but God, He intervened. And because of what His Son's saving work on the cross, we may have salvation. We might be co-heirs with Christ as a result. These are some things that we must know. So there's got to be a knowledge base to it also, or else we could just be believing back in the other column there. Just being naive, just believing whatever it is we feel we want to believe. And then belief is this next part. Now, Bible belief is a little different than what we say is belief. So if I look outside because we've got a service outside later today and it may rain, and I say, well, I believe it probably won't rain. That's just kind of wishful thinking. Belief in Scripture is based, again, on knowledge. And then it's a response to that knowledge. So belief in Scripture is not merely, I just say that I believe in Christ and I'm good. So it's got to be more than that. And it's based on something that also happens as a result. If your belief is biblical belief, it's transformational. You could probably add that word in as a bonus word there. Is that if your belief is a biblical belief, it's transformational. You will not be the same person because you will be born again. You'll be a new creature, a new creation in Christ. So that belief is different than the world looks at belief. And then this last one, trust, is putting your complete confidence in Christ's work, that you cannot add anything to it. There's nothing that you can add to it to allow God to love you anymore or to do anything for you. You have to place your complete trust in Him alone. And so as we come back to this passage again, now we're going to focus on this next section is, but we'll read it again. For it is by grace you've been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So now we're going to move on to this idea that it's not of works. So faith in itself, we have to understand. Let's look at that verse again. For it is by grace you've been saved through faith. Faith is the channel by which we are saved. But this is important. And this is not from yourselves. What isn't? Any of it. None of it's of yourselves. So even the faith that you have is not of yourselves. That is a gift of God. Because if it wasn't a gift of God and faith was something in and of yourselves, that itself would be a work. I just had more faith than Bobby, and so that's why I'm saved and he's not. And, if he were as good at me as in faith, then he'd be all right. So even the faith that we have is a gift from God. It's not something that we manufacture. And it's not by works, again, so that no one can boast. Because if it was something that I could say, well, I had faith and somebody didn't, it's because, you know, I guess I'm just smarter and I realized what God was doing. That's not how it works. Or that would be a work. So that is important, that even the faith is a work, that we can't even add that part to it. And then let's make this important distinction. You can see this on your notes here. It is not faith plus good works equals justification. So we're adding in one more word here, justification. Justification, a simple definition, is declared righteous. When you are justified before God, he has declared you righteous. You are innocent. You are now free. So it is not this. This is how much of the world looks at it, is that I've got faith and I add in my good works and now I've got salvation. I've got justification. It is not that. It is faith plus justification equals good works. There's a big difference there. So now it's the faith plus he declares me righteous, and now that equals that I do good works. It's a result of what has transpired in my life, that something that was all of God, this faith that was granted to me, that he declared me righteous, and what do I do as a response? I do good works that were prepared in advance for me to do. To misunderstand this is to misunderstand salvation. So this must be something that must be understood and understood clearly. So we were not saved. We were saved from something, eternal death, we could say our transgressions and sins, for something, good works. So we were saved from something for something. Saved from something, eternal death, separation from God for all eternity. We are saved from our transgressions and sin, and we are saved for something, for good works. That's the purpose. We have to recognize it. It almost would seem ludicrous if God just merely saved us and said, just do whatever you feel like doing. It doesn't make any sense. He saved us for a particular reason, so that we would produce good works in order to honor him. So, James, this is another passage. We don't have time to talk about the whole passage. I'm just going to focus on a couple verses in here, the kind of the beginning of the section and the end of it. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. So what James is saying, oftentimes people say Paul and James are in conflict with one another. They're not. James is just taking the practical part of it and just saying, if you are a believer, if you are truly saved, if you are truly in Christ, then this is an evidence of it. You will bear fruit. We don't have time to go to John 15. We don't have time to talk about a number of different passages, but if we don't understand this part of it, if we say that we have faith, but it's not matched up, if we're not bearing fruit, if we are not doing the things that God has prepared in advance for us to do, then we have missed out on salvation. Salvation is not a get-out-of-hell free card on the Monopoly board. You are saved from something for something. All right, so as we move into this next part, we are told in Ephesians 2:10 that we are something God created. We get our English word poem from the original Greek word. The original Greek word is poema. We, in a sense, are God's poem. The artistry of God is written into each of our lives. Each person, so when we think about who you are and we think, I wish I was somebody else, you are God's poem. He created you for a specific purpose and you are a particular poem that God has written. Now here's the other part is, when you see a great poem or you read a great poem, you could love that poem, but ultimately what does it do? It points back to the author of the poem. And that's what we should be as believers, is that we are pointing back to the author of our poem, who is God. So we are this artistic, beautiful thing that God has created, and he's created it for a purpose, that we might produce works in keeping with righteousness. But do you see yourself as God's great artwork, his great poem that has a purpose? I hope so. So, what are the good works that have been prepared in advance for me to do? Well, we have to, let's just back up one moment here. I want to back up again to what we said at the beginning about your shoes, looking down. Let's say you went to a gathering at somebody's house, and it's time to go after you've had an enjoyable evening, and you took off your shoes when you arrived, and when you head back to the door, you can only find one of your shoes. And you're thinking, what in the world? Where is my other shoe? You don't think to yourself, I'll just go home with one. You don't do that. You say, I got to find this shoe. So you start looking around and you can't find it. You're thinking, did the dog eat my shoe? Did one of the kids take it as a joke and hide it? But I can't find my shoe. So you get some other people that are there and ask them to help you find your shoe. And somebody says to you, well, hey, just take that high heel pump over there as your other shoe. No, they don't say that. They help you find it. Eventually, you find your other shoe. They help you find your shoe. You find it, and you walk home. The purpose of this illustration is these shoes are going to represent faith and works. They go together. As people, we would not leave the house with two mismatched shoes. We wouldn't get another shoe from the party and walk away with that. We would make sure, so we wouldn't even leave that house until we found our other shoe. We want to make sure that they match. And yet, in our lives, we don't understand that those two things go together. Faith and works go together. They cannot be separated. You don't say, well, just like James is saying, well, you say you've got faith and you've got this. It's not like that. It's like a person without, if they don't have both, it's like walking around with just one shoe on. So maybe you can just even remember that as you go out throughout the week, as just thinking, am I leaving the house with just one shoe today? Well, if I'm not, I better make sure that also my life represents that things are matched up, that things are together, that my faith and my works, the things that I say I believe, they match up with my life. So don't leave home without the right shoes that match. All right, so now what are the good works that have been prepared in advance for me to do? Number one, works of obedience. Obeying the commands of Scripture, that's pretty simple. John 8, 31 through 32 said, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. This is a great verse here, short passage just saying, Jesus is saying, if you hold to my teaching, if you obey my commands, then you're really my disciples. It's as simple as that. Then you will know the truth. That's the other part of it which is interesting. Then you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So one of the good works that we must do is obedience to God's commands. The second one, works of love. So this is not just love for God, this is also love for fellow man. 1 John 5, 1 through 2 says, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Again, the belief like we were talking about. And everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. So that puts one and two together. That you're also going to love God's people, you're going to love your fellow man. And we could go to, well, what does that look like? Well, we could talk about 1 Corinthians 13, love is patient, love is kind. And we could go through that list. Or we could go over to the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience. We could go through that. Or we could go to a message that Pastor Todd spoke a while ago from 2 Peter 1 and add to your faith. And we could go through those things. Or we could go to the Beatitudes. And we could look at things that are part of what it means to love, works of love. Next is works of faith. And this has to do with all that we do in reliance upon God. So this is our trusting in God in day-to-day circumstances, the things that are going on in our lives, the difficulties that come our way. You know, Romans 8:28 says, for we know that in all things God works together for the good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. So God has promised that he will work everything out for the ultimate spiritual good of all his children. So that fits into works of faith. That is part of doing a good work, is how we rely upon God. And then acts of common life. So in this acts of common life, it's that what that means, whatever we do in the basic things of life, whether you're eating dinner with your family, if you're working at the office, as you travel from place to place, as you interact with people at church, you could even say as you brush your teeth, whatever that it is that you are doing, it's the acts of common life. This list of four is not unique to me. I got this from C.H. Spurgeon, who gave this list out in the 1850s. But I thought this is a good summarization, the acts of, and then going to this fourth one, acts of common life. So 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. So that's, again, a part of doing this good work. Now, somebody is probably thinking to themselves, wait a minute, where is this list? I want a list. You know, when you say love is patient, love is kind, that's general. I want to know, you know, if I take a meal to my neighbor, if I do, I need God to give me this list. You know, that's exactly why there is not a list like that. Is taking a meal to your neighbor and a good work? Yes. Is visiting somebody in the hospital a good work? Yes. But one of the reasons why God puts it in these other terms is that that's all covered in Scripture, is that how are you going to work out your life in relation to the good works he prepared in advance for you to do? So if it was a list like that, take a meal to my neighbor, visit somebody in the hospital, the Pharisee in us would do just that. We would get a list out. Okay, check that off. Sent a meal to my neighbor. Did that. I'm done for today. That's what we would do. Is if we had that list, we would become Pharisees and we would want to just check off our little boxes rather than saying, you know, God, what is it you have prepared for me today? Let me walk outside with both my shoes. Let me make sure that I know that whatever I do in all these areas, that it is a good work in order to glorify you. So that's the part that probably some people are thinking, oh man, I was hoping that you'd give us this exact list of things that we need to do. Well, that almost takes out the relationship that you have with the Lord. Then it becomes again about us rather than about him. It doesn't become about love. It becomes about just something I've got to check off on my list. So we want to be very careful with that. This is important too. Our good deeds never make us more important than other people. This is another thing that as Christians, as with all people, we have the trouble of pride. And we think we're doing such and such over here. I'm helping doing this. Why isn't so-and-so doing that? Why isn't so-and-so doing the things that I'm doing? Why is it that I seem to be the only one working? We must remember our good deeds don't make us more important than other people. We have to remember, let's go back to that other word, grace. Sometimes, again, Christians think that grace is just for salvation. Grace is for every single day that we walk on planet Earth. We need grace. And as soon as we begin thinking that we're doing something super important, and that nobody else is doing something, or we think ourselves better than others, we have again missed out on what God would have us to do. So, one of the things that we need to ask now, from 2 Corinthians 13, 5, the beginning, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. I don't know where your hearts are. Only God knows your hearts. But one of the things James was talking about is that people should be able to see your lives, see the fruit that is in your lives, and be able to recognize that you're a believer. That should be clear. There really aren't, when Scripture talks, there's not hidden Christians in the sense that, like that old saying goes, if somebody were to convict you for being a Christian, would there be enough? I mean, if they were to accuse you of being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Would people know? It is always good for people to examine themselves. Examine yourselves to see whether you're in the faith. Is this something that you love and you look forward to? Are you so thankful that God would call you from death to life, that he would make you his poem, that he would give you good works that he has already prepared in advance for you to do? Does that excite you? For the one who is in Christ, it does, because we recognize all that God has done for us, and it's not of ourselves. And kind of just like a discussion question to have with the people that you live with or with others, is the person who says he or she is a Christian but does not obey God's commands, love others, or desire to serve God's people truly a Christian? Why or why not? It's a good discussion to have with your family. I'm going to move this out of the way here. I had, in our staff meeting a couple weeks ago, I said in staff meeting, I said it would be good if there's a song by Keith Green, you know, we are his workmanship. And I said, Ty, that would be great if you could sing that. And Ty says, why don't you sing it? So Ty made me do it. I'm used to, singing in the spare bedroom of the house. So, anyway, this was, with this song, it is something that had an impact on my life, and the words, have had just a significant part to my life over the years. And they also took away my music stand, so I'm going to hope that I can remember everything that I need to remember. If you know the song, go ahead and sing along. And if you don't, you can just listen and maybe pray along with it. Instead of questions, why?
child in his eyes. And if you love the Lord, you'll seek his face with all your heart. And even when you're old, from his holy ways you won't depart. Whoa. He calls us to offer up ourselves a living sacrifice. One more time. We are his workmanship, created for good works in Christ. He calls us to offer up ourselves a living sacrifice.
Lord, as we close our time together, help us to be this living sacrifice, that in all areas of our life, we will honor and glorify you. If there's someone here, Lord, that doesn't know where they're at spiritually, pray that they would have opportunity to talk to someone afterwards. Lord, we are your workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works that you prepared in advance for us to do. For your glory, in Jesus' name, amen. Have a good week, and make sure your shoes match.